Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. I'm up in gorgeous Fairbanks, and I mean that seriously. The sun is shining, the skies are blue, and billowing fluffy white clouds just fill the blue skies above. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. Of course, it is not balmy and warm. It is a wonderful 15 degrees outside. That's right, folks. You heard me correctly. For all of those blue skies and sunshine, it is brisk up here in Fairbanks still, but we're going to be warm and cozy wherever we are, and I'm delighted to be able to broadcast to you today from this wonderful part of the world. Also, we are going to be talking with James Mapes. We're going to be talking about his book, Quantum Leap Thinking, An Owner's Guide to the Mind. What about you? Do you think you want to know more about your own power as an individual, what your mind can do for you? You can't hold it in your hand, but you can use it. It's powerful stuff. James Mapes, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
James, you have an organization that you call the Quantum Leap Thinking, and you have been so much involved with public speaking. Apparently you do quite a few presentations every year to companies all over. And I would just say, in addition to that, you obviously would be very comfortable with speaking because you have been involved in stage performance, acting, and you have a one-man hypnosis show that you call Journey into the Imagination. This is a lot of fun just thinking about that. How in the world, I'm going to digress before we get into your book, what is this about the journey into the imagination, the hypnosis?
Well, let me give you a two-minute summary of my life, because I have four careers and a small army of people to keep me on track. But I originally, back in the 70s, I graduated with my master's in theater, my undergraduate in psychology, went off, did a lot of acting, went to New York to do soaps and films, but I was very interested in hypnosis. So I studied for 6 years with a wonderful man by the name of Harry Ahrens. He's written about 70 books on the subject, and Milton Erickson, and got into NLP, and had a private practice. And out of the private practice came an idea for this show, which is another venue, really, of hitting a different kind of audience and getting them turned on to the power of the mind. So We did the show 6 years ago on Broadway and on Lincoln Center. It was kind of an achievement of a dream. And what it is, it's not a nightclub act. I structured it as a theater piece that, within the context of the show, which is a space journey from blast off to touchdown, it's usually, by the way, done for 1,000 to 2,000 people. I do what hypnotists do to be able to bring about 30 people up, and I have another 50 people hypnotized in the audience. And everything that can be done ethically on that stage, that I'll give you like three examples very quickly because it all work into what we're going to talk about. I do age regression, which was my specialty in clinical hypnosis, working with the New York Police Department. It's called forensic hypnosis, also for child abuse victims and gathering information for phobias and fears and so forth. So I do age regression on stage, but I do it with three people at once on flip charts. So I'd say, Donna, sign your name as if you would sign a check. And then I would put you back in state, take you back to 11 years old. Donna, open your eyes. How old are you? 11. I would have you sign your name, and you would be 11 years old, and the signature would reflect that, and I talk to you, and you will reflect all those memories at that time. And then I take you back to 5. And I have you know, if you can put your name on the board, draw a little picture. So I do this with three people at once, and then I quiz them. You know, what are they? Are they in kindergarten? Do they have a party? Who was there? And it's like watching a transformation. And the point of the message is that we are the sum total of all our experiences, and that all goes into the stew of what makes us us. So that's one demonstration. Another demonstration is I tell someone, let's pretend that I tell you, you're in a box. The box is 8 feet square. It's impenetrable. You can't get out of it. You're standing in the center of this box, and you won't remember that I told you that. So in essence, I've set up a belief system, or what's called a paradigm, but you don't know it. It's as all our belief systems that we are invisible to us, run us without our knowledge, that we aren't aware of. So then I have you open your eyes. I walk 12 feet away. I say, would you walk over here, Donna? And you go right up to that barrier that you don't even know is there, and you can't move. And I move around the box, and then I start pulling out $100 bills. And I say, well, maybe you're not motivated enough. So I say, come over, take the $100, go back to the audience. You can't do it. $200, $300, $400. I go up to $2,000. And, of course, the audience is laughing, but they also see something else. Either this is a setup or there's something else going on here. So that leads me into what's the box? Fear, barriers that are invisible, how do we recognize it, how do we get out of it? So that's the second demonstration that I do that has a kind of a profound message. And the last one, I do many other ones, but the last one that I do that I take off, I say to two people, you can't remember the number 6, you can't remember the number 7. It's very funny. They count their fingers. They have 11 fingers. But I put down the $2,000 on stage, and I'll say, look, don't pretend. All you have to do is tell me the number. What's the total of 3 and 3? What's the total of 3 and 7? You can take the $2,000, go back to the audience. They can't do it. I have the audience shout it out. They can't hear it. I have my assistant write it on a flip chart. They can't see it. And that goes into another lesson about why do we see what we see? What if what we can see is something we need to see, whether it's a relationship, opportunities in life, and what creates that barrier? What makes up the lens that we look through that we call reality? And how can we reshuffle it to live an exceptional life?
That is absolutely correct. That leads right into your book, Quantum Leap Thinking. One of the things, James, that so many people have a challenge with, and I know I've had it myself, we will read books, we'll get information, and I know repetition is something that is a very positive thing if it's the right kind of repetition, so that something becomes ingrained within you, and if that's a positive thing, that really works well. But so many times we read stuff, intellectually we comprehend it, but we don't internalize it.
No, that's why I say understanding is the booby prize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is so significant. I can think of a person right now who has subconsciously sabotaged themselves so tremendously. They're in the hospital. They're a razor's edge from death. They're hanging on, but in a way, they are so frightened of certain things, yet they don't know how to break or get out of the box. And it is a real fascinating thing to watch with people, and we all go through this. You've gone through it.
I still go through it.
This is life. This is what we're dealing with. And your words, everything is perception, is right on the money. It really is.
I think that I'm gonna just lay out a term, and you may have heard this before. We'll talk about quantum leap thinking, but I just finished a 9-year book project, literally. My assistant is finishing it up today to get it off to the editor, and it's called The Elephant and the Rider, Living an Exceptional Life. It's interactive, but it's based on brain research and so forth. And the elephant is the subconscious, and the rider is the conscious. And the reason I chose that metaphor, first of all, you talk to any brain scientist, and they'll say that we are controlled, 90% controlled by our subconscious, which we don't even know. We think we do. And that little 10%, that little rider on top of that elephant, we think we can control the elephant. We can't. We cannot control it, but we can influence it. And that is where, to me, the magic comes in. Now, you have to go back to something you said, that the elephant or the subconscious, there's a part of us, the DNA part, that really doesn't like to look inward. I mean, your job, as I understand it, really is to give information, but also to get people to look inward. People people resist that, especially men, by the way. But it's that's another story.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Oh, I have no
issues
about...
The women of the world will go, thank God a man is recognizing
it. Oh, listen, my least favorite audience is a group of men. Well, you got the, you know, you got the competitive puffing and all that crap. So, and sorry, but Brella, I get, you know, I've been doing this a long, long time. So I like a 50-50 audience or all women, but I like 50-50 softens it up enough to give permission to people to look inward. Because I talk, you know, when I'm talking to business people, I mean, my private coaching and some other things I do are public, but business people come to see me without choice. I mean, if somebody buys a ticket to come and see me do something, they've chosen to buy a ticket, and they can get up and leave, or they can have a great time, or whatever they do. But if I talk to 500 sales and marketing, their bosses said, come and see this guy, and, you know, they've probably seen 36 speakers. So how do I grab them? How do I get them? So the first thing is to let people know that there is a possibility that there is something perhaps they can do by using their mind and learning some tools that we weren't taught in kindergarten. In other words, when I do a coaching session, I say, look, there's no reason you should know this stuff. I wasn't taught it as a kid. I had to learn it as both study and through a lot of pain, but it's okay. You know, we can still learn. The brain is pliable forever, and so that you make people feel comfortable. And then secondly is to get them to turn inward, to see, first question is, so what do you want you don't have, you know, and start to get them to reflect on not lack so much as what do I believe, and how has that worked out? is it working out great? Well, then good, you don't need me. But if it's not working out, well, then let's take a look at perhaps how we believe is we haven't had a choice up to now. I mean, that's kind of like a computer programming. Old voices from the past, our parents. I mean, listen, my nephew, when he was very young, he's very artistic, and one of his teachers said to him, and he wanted to do was draw and sketch and paint. He said, you better think about another profession because you're not very good. Now, my nephew, at his point in life, right now, his life is destroyed. Mm-hmm. I can't help him. Family members, mm-hmm. You can't help family members. Mm-hmm. But it was one piece of communication that went into that vulnerable part of us, the subconscious. Some programming took hold and created a fear or a belief. So if you can, now we've kind of launched into this, so there are three kinds of fear, and to me, when we look at the box is fear to me. Mm-hmm. But there are three kinds of fear. One is what I call delicious fear, and that's the kind of fear that I experience before I scuba dive or walk on stage before a large audience or skydive or, you know, stuff. It's tingly, it's wonderful, it's delicious. And then there's the primitive fear, which most people really don't know, that that subconscious elephant is programmed in the deepest part of our genetic self for flight or fight. I mean, it's just the way it is. It doesn't think. The subconscious doesn't think. It just reacts in knee-jerk reactions. Go away, mm-hmm. come mm-hmm. back, like, dislike, good, bad. So that fear, that primitive fear, kept us alive as a species. And I suppose if you're a soldier, it still works in the military or a police officer. But for most of us, for most probably of your listeners, that doesn't serve us. And what happens in life is we interpret events as if we gotta lash out and attack, or we run away and hide. And that creates the third kind of fear that we can deal with, but it's the most devious kind of fear, and I call it illusory fear. I also call it the great trickster, and it's a rejection, change, success, failure, commitment, poverty. Everyone has the fear of rejection. I mean, it's so funny when I go into I get on the subject of fear, and I say, raise your hand if you have the fear of rejection, right? No one raises their hand. So I go, well, okay, I'm going to raise mine because I certainly do. Now, come on. And a little prompting, and everyone's hand will go up, and everybody mm-hmm. looks around as if the world had just opened to them, and they say, you mean I'm not alone? So there's nothing wrong with having fear. The question is, does the fear control us in some way? So mm-hmm. the fear of rejection. Let's suppose that we don't know we have it, and somehow, because fear of rejection to me, and you can add on to this and it's fine, is the fear of isolation. It's the fear of being alone. So if I am so controlled by that fear, then I may do or say something to create that to be real, and that's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. So mm-hmm. let's play a game. So if I'm afraid of being alone, what kind of action might I take or not take that would ensure me to do that? But
You could become a workaholic or something. I mean, it's just, gee whiz, I don't have time for relationships. I hear that as a counselor. I don't have time for this. I've got so much to do. And so many times there's so much pain within people. As you say, it's very difficult to recognize that. So what you're talking about with fear is quite real.
It is. I mean, if we're overly busy or we isolate ourselves and then we look around and we go, well, I'm alone, I don't know why. Right? I don't have relationships, but I haven't got a clue why. It's hard to see that we have created it because what most people then feel is judged. Right? There's no right or wrong about this. It's just, Spencer Johnson wrote a book called Who Moved My Cheese? And it sold 26 million copies. And he wrote a book called Peaks and Valleys later on. And he called me and he asked me to create a seminar out of this for it because he doesn't speak. And I did. I took about 6 months of my life. It was a very interesting time to create something. But one of the points that I really have incorporated and has become part of my philosophy is make friends with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't do that, when we don't look at things as they are without judgment, what we do is deny or we make excuses or whatever it is. So let's go back for a second. So the other way people can become isolated is to become aggressive, dominating, controlling, or jealous, because then you push people away,
mm-hmm.
and then you go, wow, they don't like me. I'm all alone here. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with me? But in fact, we have created that. So it holds true with all these rejection, but failure, you don't take risk, or you take stupid risk, or, you know, so once we start to learn the tool, but you have to be curious too, don't you think? I mean, you know, your friend in the hospital, I've got another friend of mine, by the way, who's obese, who's 64, and I swear, he just lost his job, he's unemployable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what he did, but he's worked up to 2 months ago. He literally has not left his apartment except to buy food, and it breaks my heart. And as my wife said, you've got to let him go because you've been his friend since 1973. You've supported him since 1973. You try to do your best, and he isn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true, and that's, you know, you bring something up there, James, and that is the reality that sometimes we need to make it okay that people are making their choices. This brings me to a point in your book and one of your chapters where you talk about taking inventory. I really liked the story about the acorn. And your story in the book is how an acorn dreamed of being a beautiful pine tree when he grew up. And I love this. This is a tree that reads. The tree was given all kinds of books. He read it. He listened. He did everything. But he found that he wasn't turning into a pine tree, and he studied and he visualized and he did all kinds of things. And he just was so amazed. He grew into this magnificent oak tree, but he kept focusing on the pine tree. And there's something that I've shared with a lot of people through the years is try to focus on your strengths. And this is something that I learned many years ago, and it's often tough for the individual to do it for themselves. They might be able to do it for somebody else, but it's very hard sometimes to be able to honestly appreciate and respect the skills that you have that are so empowering that other people may say, wow, I envy you. I don't know how you do X, Y, Z, but wow, I just couldn't do that. And you go, oh, it's no big deal. And it's because we've been indoctrinated that we're supposed to make ourselves into something we're not, just like your nephew. Here is someone that had fabulous artistic talent, and one person makes a remark to him, and he accepts that remark. It really takes an inner courage to be able to say, wow, this person's an idiot. They don't know the truth. But when you're little, you buy into this stuff
because
the adults are gods in your life. I mean, you can't take care of yourself. You know that. And, wow, if you're not approved, that means you're a real schmuck.
Well, it's part of emotional intelligence and growth, which is what you help people do and I help people do. There's a wonderful book by Marcus Buckingham, and I've known Marcus for years, and it's been a bestseller, and it's had all sorts of spin-offs, and I love it. It's called Discover Your Strengths. And there's a strength finder test that you can take online. But, boy, it is so powerful for people. I hope your listeners hear this, that they'll just take the time to go. You know, most people are computer literate, I think, and to discover, go to the library, take the time to determine your strengths. It's a wonderful thing because I think... I probably told this story in the book because I've got three books going around in my head now. But I'll tell you this in a second. But people have a tendency to focus on what they can't control instead of what they can control. Now there's a wonderful, I call this the Ben Franklin exercise. It's somewhere in my studies of the years I got it, and I've credited it to him, and I use it. It's a very simple thing. Whenever anyone is stressed or they want a little self-discovery, all they have to do is sit with a piece of paper and write down everything at that moment that is vexing the spirit. Just everything. You write until you don't, silly things, important things. And then you go back to the list and you cross out everything you can't control. And just draw a line through it. It takes no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and you circle everything you can control. And a wonderful thing happens with this exercise. You don't even have to do anything more than that. You don't even have to take any baby steps to control the things you can control. But what it does, it gets you to focus on what you can control. And to me, when we talk about strengths, it is just as valuable to sit down and start to work on ourselves about what are we good at. Or what if, and the other thing that's kind of fun is to ask the question, if we could be paid to do anything we wanted to, what would we do? What would I do? If I could be paid anything, I did this with a private client once. He said, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. My phone just took a dive. It said, I would read books. That's
mm-hmm.
all I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about 2 months later, I opened up a door for him, and he became a script reader for Paramount.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, how marvelous.
Isn't that interesting? And so, but the point is if we start at the basics, sometimes with all the quote-unquote self-growth, self-help, there's too big of chunks. There's too big of thoughts to think. But if we go back to the basics of what am I really good at? Well, I may want to be, and I've been through this myself. I would love to be the greatest actor in the world. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I still do a movie every year. I did, but the reality is what I'm good at is what we're talking about. That's my strength, is helping people grow and communicating. So I now get my clients to do a vision statement. Now, a vision's different than a goal because goals have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But a vision, if you can take some time and self-reflect and just look at your top values, what do you think is important? I mean, some people may say, oh, values are honesty and integrity, but values are also fun and sex and money and athletics. And I mean, there's all sorts of values. What are my most important values? And for example, mine are love, fun, and freedom. Those are my top three values. Mm-hmm. When I go off course from what's important to me, if I don't have enough fun, I get sad. And my wife says, you know what? You're not playing enough. And you've got to do, you know, go to a movie or go walk on a beach or fly a kite. And freedom is extremely important to me. So I have developed, I mean, we have a relationship where, you know, I'm not going to say, what time are you going to be home for dinner? And we have a, my wife is a movie critic, one of the top movie critics in the country. So she goes off, does her thing, comes back. We form what I call in a relationship a third party. There's you, mm-hmm. there's someone else, and then there's that third party, and you have to nurture that. So freedom's very important to me, and love's very important, because the opposite of love is fear, which we can talk about a little later. But that's, you know, so people can identify their values and then identify what they could do if they could, you know, earn whatever sum of money, and start to look at the world as it is today and maybe just have a little fun and discover mm-hmm. some things. I find this fun.
Well, I think it's marvelous. I think it is something that whenever you can empower other people, and that is what your book, Quantum Leap Thinking, does. And I know that we're in very, very challenging times. However, I find it interesting that what you do focus on shows itself. And I am a firm believer that one of the greatest aspects about the American spirit is the love of innovation, the love of taking what seems to be the impossible and making it possible. And I get so weary of these attitudes that say, well, and that's the way it is. Not making fun of Walter Cronkite, but just using those words.
Right, right.
Because it is not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way. And it is taking the shift, creating the shift, and saying, where is it? I may not know an answer right now, but there is something that is so phenomenally unique. There are possibilities. I guess it's the love of adventure, the sense that there is something that is bigger than us, that we have a chance to dip into. And it excites me.
Oh, James, me too.
It's something that in your book, Quantum Leap Thinking, you bring out so many points. You have some fabulous, fabulous quotes. And I know we're just about out of time, but you touch on the emotional aspect that you mentioned. Because there is that part of the self, the emotional soul, the emotional mind, whatever term you're comfortable with. All of these things create each of us. And I know when I teach classes, every single one of my students, anyone, I don't care where I am, I look at them and I'm just amazed at the diversity. And it brings me so much joy and so much satisfaction to know that that diversity is there. How absolutely hideous it would be if we were all the same. And focusing on the strengths, sort of encapsulating it a little bit, focusing on the strengths, looking at what your assets are. We do it for other people all the time. We praise other people, but we've got to do it for ourselves. James, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Your website is jamesmapes.com, and that is M-A-P-E-S. His book is Quantum Leap Thinking, An Owner's Guide to the Mind. And you can tell that his background is so diverse. Go to his website, check out about his seminars and his various programs, but know that within yourself, you have this tremendous power. And James goes a long way in his book, Quantum Leap Thinking, to make you aware of the power. He gives you tools that you can work with. Why not take a hold of that power? James, thank you so much for being my guest today. Do you have a quick thought that you would like to share with my listeners?
I think one thing, as you were speaking, is we judge a lot in life ourselves and others, and if people could just think every time they judge to turn it into curiosity. Once you can become curious about everyone and everything and not judge to be harsh or wrong or bad, you start to open up that magical word that you said, which is possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Curiosity, possibilities. this is invigorating, because that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need to share with our children. That's what we need to give to ourselves first so we can share it with those around us. James, you're going a long way towards doing that. Thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
And thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Donna Sebo here. The book, again, Quantum Leap Thinking. James Mapes has been my guest. Go to his website, jamesmapes.com. We're going to be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Up here in the far north, where the sun is shining, no rain, as we have been experiencing in abundance in the Pacific Northwest, but the sun is just absolutely glorious. But like I said at the beginning of the show, you better have on your long johns, because it's about 15 degrees outside. But that's changing pretty rapidly, which is typical for being up in the far north. One of the things that has been evolving up here in Alaska is the use of solar panels. And up here in Fairbanks, it's a part of Alaska where they have sun fairly consistently, whereas in Anchorage, they're like Seattle. They have a lot of gray, a lot of overcast. Well, they have started using it, and there are some people that are beginning to put it in because they want to have reduction in the heating costs. I was talking with someone up here, and I'm sure many of you, depending on where you are living, might be experiencing the same thing. Energy costs are going up everywhere. Everything's going up. And so up here, even though many times people have a very, very good income, they are finding that that income is being eaten up for, especially during the winter, for utility bills, lights, electricity, obviously, which is with lights, your heating, instead of using oil, what else can you do? So they started implementing the use of solar panels. And of course, in today's world, it's still pretty expensive to implement that. But people are becoming more innovative, and they are discovering ways where they can effectively put something like this in, and then the savings on their cost is tremendous. I was doing a radio broadcast yesterday with the station up here, and when I was taken through the tour of their studios, they had this huge room where there was all of this computer equipment. And for those of you that may have a home office, you know how warm your office can get when you've got your printers going and your computers and you've got all of this stuff that enables you to communicate with anybody in the world. And it generates a lot of heat. Well, they came up with the concept in the building to siphon off the heat that's in this room with all of this equipment and pumping it into other areas in the building. And what it has done, it has helped to keep their costs down substantially, and the building is heated more effectively and efficiently. So it's really quite interesting what people are doing to deal with the changes that they're experiencing so that they can economically deal with the adjustments that they have to make and still have the quality of life and the use of technology that they want. So it really is very, very important. Now, solar thermal, solar hot water, people like to use that process to be able to keep water warm so that they have the hot water, obviously, during the cold months. And there is something called a flat plate collector. Apparently, they're the oldest and the most popular type of solar thermal. And it's a 4x8-foot glass encased panel. And this panel contains a thin metal sheet that has a dark coating that absorbs energy. We've all seen them. And then beneath the sheet are coils that are filled with the fluid that allows for the transfer of the heat. You have lines that are insulated that maximize heat transfer to fluid, and it ends up in a storage tank. Now, they have residential systems up here that people are starting to buy, and it's enabling them to see a savings in their cost. And up here, because we have such challenges like with permafrost, and you have all of these variables of extreme weather up here in the far north, they deal with that too. So if you are interested in doing something like that, check around. Find out about your environment, what's going to be most effective for you, most efficient, then your environment, maybe the utility companies will buy any leftover energy that you might have or energy that you have stored. It's a fascinating concept. It's not a new one. It's been going around for a long time. But it is really important that we become innovative and look at ways that we can become more efficient with energies. And that even goes for the utility companies. I always find it ironic when people become more efficient, the costs still go up because they're losing money. People are using less, and they have to charge more. So there's something wrong with that mentality. We've got to be able to shift things around so it's a win-win for everybody. Well, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open. I forgot to mention that. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I do want to let those of you who are listening know that on the 12th of May, the day before Mother's Day, Saturday, I'm going to be appearing at the Ascension into Light Foundation, and I'm going to be doing something that I haven't done in a long time, and it's so much fun, and that is flower readings. And This is something that I was taught by a wonderful man. His name is Reverend Floyd Humble, and he was a trance medium. And he did this for people, and it was always enjoyed, and I remember learning from him. But it's reading of flowers. And what you do, you bring in your own flower arrangement, and it needs to be live flowers, not silk flowers. So you bring in your own arrangement, any kind of plant, whatever it is, but you put it together. You bring it into the class. I'll be out of the area that will have a table set up where flowers can be placed. And then about 15 minutes after everybody's had a chance to get in for the class, it's going to be from 1 until 4 at the Ascension and Delight Foundation in Seattle, Washington. And then I come in, and without knowing what belongs to who out in the audience, then I'm going to give readings about the individual, what's going on in their life, what's happening, and it's so much fun. So if you would like to find out more about it, go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, or you can just Google Donna Siebel, and my website information will pop up, and you can check out the information on the class, which again is going to be at the Ascension in Delight Foundation in Seattle, Washington, on May the 12th. From 1 until 4. It is going to be absolutely wonderful. So I hope you can come. There is a small fee of $25, but it is just going to be absolutely marvelous. So there's a number there for you to call if you want more information. Donna Siebel here. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. For those of you in Alaska, I'm going to be going down to Anchorage. I'll be flying in there this evening. And I will be there through Monday. So if you'd like to reach me for private appointments, and if you're anywhere else and you would still like to contact me for a private session, that's fine. Call my office, 253-582-5604. How can you make your garden into an environment that is going to be just what you want, keep the bugs away? Well, lots of times we don't think about having certain plants in our environment to either attract certain bugs and or birds or to get rid of them. And I found it fascinating. I didn't know this about geraniums, but mosquitoes hate geraniums. That was a new point of information for me. If you want to get rid of them, all you have to do is have them sitting in and around whatever your eating areas are. They just don't like the smell. And if you've ever smelled a geranium, it has a very unique odor to it. And it really isn't necessarily that pleasant. But I didn't know that if you are going to go out walking and you want to avoid getting bitten by mosquitoes, if you will take a leaf or two off of the geranium, crush it between your hands, and then rub it on your skin, it releases a scent that it'll keep them away. Boy, I wish I'd known that when I was out in the woods. The USDA did a study, said that the oil in geranium leaves provides 95 minutes of protection against mosquitoes. Who knew? I didn't know. I just love geraniums. I love the bright red ones. And they're all beautiful. But who would have thought by crushing a leaf and rubbing it on your skin that that would provide a deterrent? It's absolutely amazing. Also, if you really want to attract a lot of bees into your yard, if you've noticed in your area that there is a lack of bees, and this is something in the Pacific Northwest that a number of people in the environment of study, they're very concerned because we're not seeing as many bees as we used to. And, of course, the past couple of years, there's been something affecting them. We don't know what it is. And in many environments, they've just absolutely disappeared. So if you want to attract bees into your garden and you want to encourage that activity, zinnias are absolutely marvelous for this. And since bees are the most effective pollinators on this planet of ours, we all need them. You know, there's more than 90 commercial crops and a third of the world's entire food supply. We rely on bees for them to pollinate so that these food supplies survive. Well, fruits, vegetables, you're going to have a much better harvest if you've got these wonderful little creatures flying around in your yard. So zinnias, foxglove and heather, red clover, and sunflowers. They just love them. So this is something you might want to add to your garden, just feeling like you're contributing to the environment of life and keeping everything rich and lush. Donna Sebo here. We are taking a break. If you want to call me, 888-627-6008. When we come back, I have a fabulous recipe for a Mexican chocolate honey cake. Cinco de Mayo is coming up. Why not fix something with a Mexican flair that is going to surprise your guests? So have that pad of paper and pen handy when we come back. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska. Come back in just a minute, and we'll be sharing this recipe with you and some other information as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Hey, the telephone number is 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, and I will be more than happy to do exactly that. Well, the Mexican chocolate honey cake. I don't know about you, but chocolate is one of my favorite foods, and Cinco de Mayo is coming up, and so many times it is just a joy to take something to a potluck, or if you're having a party, or if you're being a part of certain festivities for this coming Saturday, it is just terrific to be able to take something that nobody else will have. Well, I think that this cake will be a real winner, primarily not just because it's chocolate, but because you're going to add some fresh mango to it that's going to give it an entirely different experience, culinary experience, tasting experience than people have had. Now, it's going to take about an hour of time, and of course you've got to include some cooling time for the cake in the process of making up. This is what you're going to need: 1/3 cup of cocoa powder, and you want to have some extra because you're going to want to dust your cake, so keep that container of cocoa powder handy. And then you're going to need 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1 1/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne, you're hearing it correctly, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of honey. And use whatever is your favorite, but remember, if you have a strongly flavored honey, that it could affect, you know, it's going to have that addition to the chocolate taste. And then you're going to need, in addition to 1 cup of your favorite honey, you need 1 cup, which is 2 sticks of butter, cup of butter, room temperature, 2 eggs, room temperature, 3 tablespoons of water, 1 tablespoon of instant coffee, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. That's 1 tablespoon of instant coffee, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 1/2 cups of powdered sugar, and then you want to have some sliced fresh mango. And you can do that in advance and just have that sliced and covered and put in the refrigerator. But that's going to be that magic touch. Okay, now your oven you need to hit heat to 350 degrees. You can use a bundt pan, a tube pan for this. It's just perfect. And you want to spray it with your nonstick cooking spray. And then you want to sprinkle your cocoa powder on the inside of the pan. And, of course, you need to turn your pan all around because you want to coat the inner surfaces of the pan. And then just tap out any excess. Well, you won't find you have very much of that. And then in a medium bowl, you want to sift together your flour, a third of a cup of the cocoa powder, baking powder, cinnamon, cayenne, and salt, and you want to put that to the side. That just takes a second to whisk together. Now, you're going to need to use a medium saucepan and put it over medium-high heat, and you want to take your honey and butter, put it in the pan, and you want to melt it. You want it to blend together. And then you take the mixture once the butter and honey have been blended. You want to put it in the bowl of your mixer, and then you want to beat it on medium-high until the butter and honey not only are blended, but they're at room temperature. You don't want it too hot when you're adding the other ingredients, so you want it at room temperature, and that aerates it, so that helps to cool it more quickly. Once your honey-butter mixture has cooled to room temperature, then you want to turn your beater back on, add your eggs one at a time, making sure that they're incorporated well. And then add a third of your dry ingredients at a time to the wet ingredients. And you want to scrape down the sides of your bowl between the additions. And then you're going to put your mixture into your prepared pan. And you want to bake it for 25 minutes or until you test it. It all depends on your oven. And you just have to test to make sure in the middle of the cake that it is cooked, so use one of those nice bamboo sticks for that. You want to make sure that tester comes out clean. Now, you need to let the cake cool in the pan for about 15 minutes, and then you'll turn it out onto a wire rack so that it cools completely, and you let it sit. Now, this is what you do for the frosting, and while your cake is cooling, you can do it. In a small bowl, you want to whisk together your water, your instant coffee, and vanilla. And you want to make sure that those coffee granules are totally dissolved. And then you want to whisk in your powdered sugar until it's nice and smooth. And then while the cake is slightly warm, then you're going to drizzle this frosting mixture over. Something I like to do when I'm doing this kind of a process is to take a fork and put holes in the top of the cake. And in that way, the frosting goes down. And sometimes when I fixed a cake like this, I like to double the amount of frosting so that I have plenty to put on it. So it's all up to you, but those are just some things that I have learned to do in the past, and it's just my preference because I really like frosting. So I just drizzle it on, and you allow it then, it'll soak into the cake when you puncture the top with a fork. And it's just absolutely delicious, and then when you're ready to serve it, then your sliced mangoes that you would take out of the refrigerator, when it's time to serve, you just take those out, put them on each one of the slices if you wanted to do that, or just put it on a person's plate, depending on how you're serving it. And the mango and the chocolate is just amazing. The flavors are just incredible. So that's something I think you will enjoy. Well, I know we are getting close to being out of time here. It's just amazing how fast it goes. I'm so grateful for James Mape being a guest today. Quantum Leap Thinking, be sure and check out his book. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Mark Ireland. His book is called Soul Shift, but we're going to be talking about his dad. His dad was an incredible psychic. And Mark's experiences and what he's learned about his dad, and we'll discuss some of the videos, the things that his dad did. As he became an adult and went through certain experiences of his own, he found that he himself had intuitive abilities too. So we're going to be hearing stories not only about a world-renowned psychic who was on Steve Allen's show and involved in so many activities, we're also going to be hearing about how his son has discovered his own talents. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Remember, you are totally unique in this world of life, and you want to focus on the strengths that you have. The weaknesses, you will improve upon those, but focus on your strengths and let your light shine. We need you. You're very important. This is Donna, broadcasting from Fairbanks. Well, I'll be broadcasting from Anchorage, Alaska tomorrow. Be well. I'll be with you tomorrow again, live, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, from 9 to 10 in the morning, our new showtime. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.